Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
And what's this old man's erudition?
He's got the devil on his back trying to ride him to the grave before his time.
Out, Zebica.
Yes.
Out, Beelzebub.
Yes.
How old are you?
7, but I look a lot older.
God bless you. He's 7.
Now this is a man with optimism in his heart.
All right.
Belief in his soul. Yes. We are all children in the eyes of God.
Yes.
We are going to get you out of that chair. Yes. And we going to have you walk. In the name of God's glory, rise up.
Come on.
Come on with us, son. Now God is going to see you the rest of the way. He's going to see this little old man walk without the use of a crutch or a cane. He's going to see that you walk from faith and divine inspiration alone.
All right.
Now walk.
Come on.
Don't touch you. Rise up, old man. Rise up like Lazarus. I said, rise up! Yes.
Come on.
Say hallelujah. Walk. Walk on.
Now, when I look back on it, it was miraculous. But you know the saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Go in the highest!
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
It's May. Is it May?
It's May.
Oh, it's
something.
May. Oh, gosh. It's May. And so we're still doing an episode every week, although, you know, maybe sometime soon we'll be able to go back to our normal schedule. But this actually has been very fun. We've been doing a brand new episode every single week, which means that we've been picking movies that have been adapted from shorter literary sources, maybe a novella, maybe a short story, sometimes a song even. Today we're going to be talking about a short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald. But before we get to that, if you're new to us, we'd like you to know that there are a few places where you can interact with me, Margot P., and Margot D. Yes, we're both named Margot, and other listeners of this podcast on the internet.
We're always looking for ideas, so please feel free to reach out to us. We have a basic Facebook page. It's fine to like that page. All the episodes are posted there, but we're more interactive in the Facebook group, and our Facebook group is just a really nice place to hang out. We just keep it about books and movies there, and people are cool. So you just type in Book vs Movie Podcast Group in Facebook if you're interested. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs Movie, but you actually spell out Book vs a Movie. We started the show 6 or 7 years ago. We didn't know what we were doing. We just kind of fell along as we went along. So that's where you can find us there. We have an email. It's a basic old-timey email, Book vs Movie Podcast, spelled it all out, at gmail.com. Be sure to send us your suggestions. And also, if you would like stickers or coasters, or we're getting bookmarks soon.
We are. They haven't come in yet, but they are on their way.
Which is like the best thing ever. So if you're interested in those, please reach out to us and we'll get them out to you.
Today, we are going to be discussing The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which is a short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I have never read this before. Had you read it before?
Nope. This was my very first time.
It's extremely short. I think you said it was on Audible, yes?
Yeah, so just so we should let you guys know, we do have a deal with Audible. You go to audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. You can get a month's free service. But they also have, if you become a member, they have free offerings there. And one of them is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. There's actually quite a few of them there, which is how I took in the story. I didn't read it this time. I listened to it.
I read it. It's a very, very quick read. It's a very short story. And this reminded me the experience of, and I hadn't actually seen this movie either. I thought I had, but I hadn't. The experience of reading the story and reading this and watching the movie reminded me very much of It's a Wonderful Life.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, where you have this like little nugget, very short story with, you know, this really interesting story concept, but very kind of, it's really a sketch. I would say that the Fitzgerald version, and then you have a great filmmaker and writers who turn it into this saga, right. If you will. We talked about F. Scott Fitzgerald when we did our Great Gatsby episode, but you know, in case you're unfamiliar, hit the broad strokes here. Yeah,
we're going to hit the broad strokes exactly because we did cover them in the past. And I should mention, we do have a Patreon page if you're interested in supporting the show that way. And it's up there. We talked a great deal about him. So just go to patreon.com/book-versus-movie. He was born in 1896, middle America. He was what was called the jazz age in America. He helped to quote that, to popularize that idea in the 1920s. He was a prolific writer. He only actually wrote four novels. Most of his work was in short stories. He wrote over 164, exactly 164 short stories, excuse me. He died in 1940 from alcoholism. There's a whole story about Zelda Fitzgerald, which we talked about before. Once again, if you're interested, go check it out there. He's a brilliant writer, and this is a super interesting idea. And this story came out in 1922. In a magazine called Collier's, which, you know, magazines used to feature short stories all the time. So this is when the story originally came out.
One of the major differences between, so that, you know, the basis of the story is the same, but one of the major differences between the book and the movie, and I think it's interesting that in updating it in the movie, and we'll talk about that when we get to it, I really like the choice that they made to update it, and they picked a good way of doing it. In the book, Benjamin is born just before the American Civil War. And in the movie, he's born the day World War I ends. So, you know, these kind of important points in American history. Benjamin is, and in the book, we should say, and they don't really explain this at all. He's born, he's not tiny. He's a fully grown man, a fully grown 70-year-old man who can speak and who has like the intellect of a 70-year-old man. So it's a very kind of shocking scene that you open with the birth and the father is waiting to see his son. And they, you know, he walks into the nursery at the, you know, the maternity ward. And there is this 70-year-old fully grown man wrapped in a blanket, like a baby blanket, a giant one. And it's like, what are you looking at?
It's a very odd beginning. And the father, his name is Roger. He raises Benjamin because his mother dies, right? In childbirth, you would think so. Something so, that yeah. gigantic. So he's walking around and then the dad is trying to raise him. And like you said, he's like very smart. He's like lived a whole life, basically. He's just born with all the things, you know, and whatever. And so his father's trying to get him to play with toys and he does it just to amuse him. But he's more interested in taking naps, and his father tries to put him into kindergarten. As he gets older, he tries to, so Benjamin, when he's at college age, he tries to go to Yale, but they're like, no, you're a 50-year-old man or whatever, you need to go home. This is, you're being ridiculous. So there's this unease about his life. And then when he's about middle age is when he really starts kind of becoming successful.
So one of the things that I thought was really funny in the book that is not in the movie, although I love the choice that they made in the movie, is that, again, in the movie, if you've seen the movie, you know that, spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah, we spoil all the details. Sorry.
We spoil everything. Spoiler alert, in the movie, the father abandons the baby. But in the book, the father raises the baby, they have a very close relationship, but the father absurdly makes the decision right away that he is going to treat Benjamin like the age that he is. So he's taking basically, you know, a senior citizen to the children's department at Sears.
Right.
And then is angry when there are no clothes that fit him.
It's like a 5-foot-tall baby that he's trying to fit.
It's very funny. So there are all these moments like this, and he forces Benjamin to dye his hair and do all these things to make him look as young as possible. But he's wrinkled, and he's stooped over. He walks with a cane. Obviously, like, it's just crazy. But the father really, really, for many years of Benjamin's life, is forcing Benjamin to try and pretend that he looks the age that he is, which I think is very funny. I mean, it's a very funny idea and absurd. You know, it's absurd about, it's a great little statement about relationships in general, about forcing somebody that you're in a relationship with to be somebody else to please you. I think it's a really interesting idea and a great way of illustrating that. And so, and then there's this joke, I'm sure, about he goes to enroll at Yale, and Yale's like Margot said, says, "Get out of here. You're a 50-year-old man. We're not accepting you as a freshman." And Benjamin's like, "Okay, fine. I'll go to Harvard." And the father in the book runs a hardware store, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Benjamin starts working in the hardware store. And, you know, over the years, the father's growing older, Benjamin's growing younger, and they really develop a really sweet relationship where they, you know, they really become very, very close. I like the progression of the father-son relationship in the little story very much. And he meets a girl, a daughter of a local general, and falls in love with her. At this point, Benjamin and the dad are so close in physical appearance that they look like their brothers rather than father and son.
Right.
And they get married. And what this made me really sad. So he marries this girl who's has a thing for older men, apparently. And he's kind of upfront with her about what's going on. And, she, you know, like people do, like, "Oh, I don't care." And they get married, and he's getting younger, she's getting older. And then, oh, he goes to fight in the, as she's getting older, Benjamin's like, "You know, I don't think you're so hot anymore."
Oh, yeah. He's a total jerk. I mean, I think this is part of like F. Scott Fitzgerald and just like the patriarchy and like what was happening mm-hmm. at the time. Like, well, of course, he's not going to be attracted to a 50-year-old woman. You know, he only liked her when she was young and hot.
Yeah. And so he leaves her and goes to fight in the Spanish-American War, which in the movie, you know, I'm sure that he goes and fights in World War II, and he rises in rank. And I love, this is really funny too. So he's fighting in this, he's a war hero, and he becomes a lieutenant colonel. And then later, I think he gets promoted. The army tells him, like, we're promoting you to, I forget what other, and he goes to get his promotion, and he's younger, obviously. And they're like, "Who are you, you imposter?" And he's like trying to be commanding over them, and they're not having it from this kid. And now he has a son. His wife had a son. Eventually, I can't remember if the wife dies or she moves away.
She leaves him.
She leaves them, right? Yeah.
For Italy.
Oh, that's right. She goes to Europe. Mm-hmm. And again, it's before World War I at this point. And so Benjamin, as he's getting younger and younger, is becoming more and more dependent on his son. And his son eventually forces his own father to call him uncle. His son's name is Roscoe, mm-hmm. I think.
Roscoe.
To call him Uncle Roscoe. And then the end happens kind of very fast. He gets younger and younger. He's a child. He's a toddler. He's an infant. And then he dies as a newborn.
Yeah. 70 years. He lived 70 years. And in the end, like, his son had to take care of him, but his son got resentful of it. His father, I think, is like the best person in this whole story.
Yeah. The father's like really, he's trying. Yes. He's trying. And eventually he kind of sees the error of his ways and has a really sweet relationship. I really liked that whole story of the father and the son relationship in this version of it. I thought was really sweet.
Yes.
I didn't like the marriage so much.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it irritated me too. I mean, but I don't know if we're just, you know, maybe we're not supposed to like Benjamin Button. Maybe we're supposed to think he's kind of a jerk, or, you know, just the situation that he's in makes him a jerk, or it's societal pressures or whatever. But yeah, it's short and sweet. And there's been many attempts to adapt this over the years. I was really surprised when I went to do some research. I think Steven Spielberg had it for a while. Tom Cruise wanted to play the part. John Travolta was cast at some point. There's all kinds of people, but I guess, you know, it takes somebody like a David Fincher to bring this to life, because he does those big themes. He loves to do big sweeping stories. He also, we've talked about it when we talked about The Social Network.
Again, it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, or there's another one I'm forgetting. That where you had this like lovely little kernel of an idea and a great filmmaker and his team, you know, turn it into a really cool, epic, you know, sweeping saga that has wonderful themes. I mean, I really loved this movie. I thought I had seen it before, but I don't think I did, because there were whole stretches of this movie that I was like, oh, that's what happens. So I think I maybe only saw some of it before. I hadn't seen the whole thing. But I mean, that's all there is to say about the book.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, the story is, I don't even know how many, it's like 40 pages or something.
It's definitely fun. If you like this movie, you'll enjoy the story. It's great writing. I mean, it's Fitzgerald, of course. So let's talk about this movie.
We usually play the trailer at this point, but the trailer is all sweeping shots and music. Like, there's very little narration.
You would have no idea what's happening. Right. No, I agree.
So let's introduce it. So we have David Fincher is directing this. It's in 2008. We have Brad Pitt as our Benjamin. We have Kate Blanchett, Mahershala Ali, Taraji P. Henson, Julia Ormond. We have just incredible. I forgot the people that were in this. I know. I saw this.
What a cast. Oh, everybody. There's a lot of character actors and extras in this movie, and they're all so good.
They all are. Yeah. Yeah. And so it starts, actually, like Marco said, it takes place in New Orleans. The original story took place in Baltimore. But Benjamin is born. It's the night of declared, it was the Great War, they called it at the time. The Great War was over. I think that's what we called it at the time. I wasn't there. But anyway, he's born looking, the mother dies right away, and the father sees his son. He's in such a horrible state, you know, losing his wife. And then there's this baby that's like this wrinkled old man baby, and he in his grief and his, you know, freaking out
panic
he leaves the baby at this old folks home, and he just leaves a little bit of money, and that's where Taraji P. Henson, like I said, everybody's so good. She is so good in this movie.
She's outstanding. She got an Academy Award nomination. She absolutely deserved it. We should say that the movie won for best art direction, best makeup, best visual effects. I love Taraji P. Henson. She's great in absolutely everything. I was just watching this really cute clip of her, which I will share in the Facebook group, of her talking about how she almost blew off her callback for this because she was planning to have a yard sale. Very
Taraji.
Cute. But she's so, so good in this. I love her in anything, but I so enjoyed her in this movie.
I was thinking, because we keep talking about the movie, but I was like, how did this not win everything? And then it's the year that Slumdog Millionaire won.
Oh,
every once in a while, a movie comes along and everyone's for it. Everyone wants it to win.
It's great. And it's a good movie.
It is a good movie. I've never seen it. I mean, I saw it when it was out in the theaters, but I've never revisited it. But with Benjamin Button, I saw it in the movie theater. I've seen it once before for another podcast, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then I watched it this morning, and I'm just was completely, first of all, like you said, the art direction. I mean, it looks beautiful, and he really sets time and place very well. Benjamin, and the special effects are what everybody was talking about. They have Brad Pitt's face on different actors' bodies when he's playing.
Yes. Which I think is it's fun in a way. It is. You know, it's not like Cats, right. which we talked about a while ago. I really liked the way that they did it. It really was sort of a magical realism kind of a way that they did the animation. I want to just mention that the adaptation was by Eric Roth, who did Forrest Gump. That's how I feel about that movie, Forrest Gump. Not my favorite movie, but you know, but it is, again, he took this little story and turned it into this. We completely changed the message, but you know, this saga,
right.
The Insider, A Star Is Born, Munich. So a very well-established screenwriter. I think I love this script.
Yes.
I love the opening. And I also don't care for, usually, I don't care for movies like Titanic, where you like have the old woman who's got these memories and she's just about to go out, but she's going to share 3 hours with you as we go back and forth in time. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm not mad at it here because I thought watching the movie again, because I had forgotten, I don't think I ever saw it all the way through. I thought we were going to go right into her talking about Benjamin Button. We don't. We start with this story about the blind man making the backwards going clock.
Oh, I loved that.
And I was like, whoa, I loved it too. I thought, I mean, what a beautiful way to set up what this story that we're going to set us up for, again, dipping our toe in the magical realism of it, you know, getting us to open our little window of disbelief just like a little bit so that when we do talk about Benjamin Button, we're not like starting from the ground floor. I really loved that device. I thought it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt's there. I mean,
it's just, oh, I loved it.
It was so fantastic. And so he's growing up in this house. He has these two wonderful parents who raise him. I don't know what to say. Like, it's also magical realism. This is a world where everyone treats each other decently. But Benjamin grows up in this old folks' home, and it's perfect because as soon as, you know, people, he looks the way they do, but he's trying to figure out his way in the world. So they're very patient with him, and they explain things
so
to
sweet.
Him. They teach him music lessons, and they talk about life. And there's this one guy who talks about the 7 times he was struck by lightning. And
I loved that device, too. I thought that was brilliant.
It's fantastic.
I don't know how it's possible, but you seem to have more Ohio.
What if I told you that I wasn't getting older, but I was getting younger than everybody else?
Well, I feel sorry for you. To have to see everybody you love die before you do, it's an awful responsibility.
I never thought about life or death that way before.
Benjamin, we're meant to lose the people we love. How else would we know how important they are to us?
And so he's growing up, he's getting stronger, and then at some point he needs to kind of go out into the world. And there's actually, he becomes friends with a man who's described as a pygmy, which was actually things that actually happened. People would bring people to America and put them in carnivals. He's great. He introduces him to like the world outside. And then all of a sudden he decides he's going to be on a tugboat. Captain, like, or he's going to work for a tugboat captain. He's going to work for a guy who's looking for people to help him out. And that person is a very good actor. I'm trying to remember his name. He's super brilliant, but he starts traveling around the world. And then Benjamin meets a woman who becomes his love interest. Blanking on the name, the actor.
Tilda Swinton.
Thank you. I'm sorry. And when Tilda Swinton shows up, you know you're in a high-class production. Like, she's always bringing something incredible. But Benjamin's in Russia, and then that's like his first girlfriend, his first super romantic relationship.
Mr. Olivia. You haven't been with many women, have you?
Not on Sundays.
And you've never had caviar before, have you?
No, ma'am.
When I was 19, I attempted to become the first woman ever to swim the English Channel.
Really?
But the current that day was so strong that for every stroke I took, I was pushed back too. I was in the water for 32 hours. And when I was 2 miles from Calais, it started to rain. When I couldn't go any further, I stopped. I just stopped. And everybody asked me, would I try again? Well, why wouldn't I? But I never did. As a matter of fact, I've never done anything with my life after that. Your hands are so coarse. I can feel the wind in your cheek.
The first time a woman had ever kissed me. It's something you never forget.
So something I think they handle very well, and it's a very delicate thing, is that at the old folks' home, when he's an old folk, he meets Daisy, who becomes the love of his life. Well, she's 10, and he's like 60 or 70.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, you know, it's a little, and there's, I'm glad that, I mean, they kind of play together and they hang out together and he thinks she's just really cool and she just knows there's something special about him and that's their relationship. But of course, you know, you can't, it seems inappropriate to people for good and sufficient reason. But Benjamin goes out in the world for a while. He keeps in touch with Daisy with postcards. He travels around the world and tells, and then eventually they meet up again. And Daisy is a dancer. And so is Cate Blanchett, who plays Daisy as an adult. She performs in New York in Carousel, of all things.
Yeah.
Which is spectacular. And
it really is. It's such a great scene. It's so good.
It's so beautiful. And you know, there's this thing like there's ships passing in the night. There's times when they meet up and she wants to make love to him and have a relationship with him. And then there's sometimes he wants to woo her and they're kind of like not meeting each other. They're at different points in their lives. And then Daisy, and I also like this scene. I mean, it's sad, but she's in Paris. And she is, spoiler, hit by a cab and it breaks her leg and she can no longer perform. And he finds out about this and goes to Paris to take care of her. In the meantime, by the way, his father, who had dumped him, comes back into his life and takes him out to dinner from time to time. And then at one point he tells him, I'm your father. I left you. Your mother died in childbirth. And Benjamin's pissed. And the father is dying, but Benjamin kind of possesses this other knowledge about dying and going and everything. So he explains to his mother, Taraji, you know, she's like, oh, he wants to give you money now. And he didn't, blah, 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 blah. But Benjamin, even though he's mad at what his dad did, he forgives him and gives him like a really, he takes him to this beautiful setting to watch the sunset. Benjamin just like treats him decently. He could be really pissed off, but the dad also leaves him a lot of money, the button company. So Benjamin can go around the world. So when he's done being a sailor, because eventually, and I love the whole the stuff with the sailing and he's
and all the, and the war and the all war, of that.
And that
yeah.
Submarine
it's
scene.
Very well done.
Oh,
it's scary.
God, is it good? Oh, this movie is so good. We should also say it's 3 hours. So it's, you got to put some time in with it. But they start a relationship finally. have this great time in their lives. It's like the mid-60s and they're listening to the Beatles and they're sleeping on a mattress on the floor. They've never been better. I think these two people have never been more beautiful in my life.
Oh, no. It's they're gorgeous people.
Certainly are beautiful to watch.
Dancing's all about the line. The line of your body. Sooner or later, you lose that line. And you never get it back. I figure you were born in 1918, 49 years ago. I'm 43. We are almost the same age. We're meeting in the middle.
We finally caught up with each other. Wait. I want to remember us just as we are now.
Benjamin is first really psyched, of course, but then he's worried, wait a minute, what's going to happen as she gets older? I'm going to get younger. It's going to mess her up. And it's a daughter named Carolyn who he then, and it's very sad, but he leaves. He says, he doesn't want to be a burden on anybody and especially mm-hmm. on the people he super loves. So he leaves Daisy and Carolyn to go off on his adventures. And there's a whole thing. And we should also, I forgot to mention, Julia Ormond plays the adult Carolyn. And she's visiting her mother at Cate Blanchett in this old age makeup, which is incredible. That must have taken hours to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in a hospital in New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina is about to show up. There's a lot going on. There's a lot at stake here. So the storm is threatening to come through. And that's when Cate Blanchett, as Daisy says to Carolyn, read this journal. It's this thing he left me, Benjamin Button. So as Carolyn reads it, she realizes, oh, this man was my real father. And she gets mad for like a beat. But then she comes right back. And in another movie, it would be like this whole scene, like she'd leave the hospital and scream. And like, I like the way they handle it. They just kind of keep the story going. But
I thought it was cool, too, that I agreed. I thought the same thing because she does have that moment and she like leaves room. But again, Hurricane Katrina is coming. Where's she going to go?
Where are you going to go? And your mother's dying. On top of everything. I mean, you know, time is money. I mean, you gotta just like enjoy as much as you can while you can. And Brad Pitt comes back one more time into Daisy. Well, no, there's another. We'll get to that. So Brad Pitt comes back and he looks about 20. It's like in his early career. That's when they got that footage. She's in her 50s or 60s at this point. And he says goodbye to her. She got remarried, and the man's a really good father to Carolyn, and he's a nice man. He's decent. She runs her own dance studio. She's got a really good life, and that makes him feel good and okay. And then he leaves, and then this is when I kept it all together. I was really okay with the movie, and then Benjamin shows up back at the old folks' home. He's actually a young kid now. And he has the beginning of dementia.
Yeah.
That's when I freaking lost it.
Crying. It's so sad when he's there playing. She, he, doesn't recognize her.
Right. He's
like, I know.
He's 12. Like, he has acne and he's got like a little like, he looks so much like a kid, but and the doctor's like, we can't explain it. He has dementia. So he's like this awkward teenager, but he's really this old man. And Daisy is the only person he'll let talk to him. Right. She's the only, so she eventually moves into the house to take care of him full time. And then
because her husband has died.
Yes. 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 And we should
her say. Husband has died. And that's when, so she goes looking for him like immediately after the husband has died. So she moves into the old folks' home.
And she takes care of him and he gets smaller and smaller and younger and younger. And eventually he dies in her arms. Then we go back to the hospital. And there's sort of this, I looked this up, there's this theme of a hummingbird that you see quite mm-hmm. often. And I didn't know this, but hummingbirds flap their wings against the current so that they don't get swept up in hurricanes. So that's the sort of, so here she is in the middle of the hurricane and she can see a hummingbird. And he's seen them throughout the movie, but that's sort of like she realizes that's probably him, or it's just like this manifestation of him. And she dies and then she's gone. And that's the very end of the movie where we have Benjamin and he's talking about, you could be a dancer, you could be, you know, an expert on Shakespeare, you could be whatever, whatever. And then you see the clock and it's like the flooding of Katrina's coming in. And it's
when I lost it.
Oh, my God.
Some people are born to sit by a river. Some get struck by lightning. Some have an ear for music. Some are artists. Some swim. Some know buttons. Some know Shakespeare. Some are mothers. And some people dance.
I was done. Yeah. I held it together so well. I just saying before we went on the air. I held it together so well through this whole movie, y'all. I really did. And I'm a weeper. And I was like keeping it together. And then when I saw that the flood water, I was a mess.
It's beautiful. Like we said, it was nominated for so many things. It was nominated for Best Picture, Director, Editing, Cinematography, Costume, Score, Sound. Brad Pitt was nominated. Taraji P. Henson was nominated. It won, but that was the year of Slumdog Millionaire, and that just happens sometimes. You know, something else kind of catches mm-hmm. people. And for some people, a three-hour movie is, I mean, back then, that was a lot to ask people. Now it's almost become like all the superhero movies are at least 2.5 hour, if not 2.5 hours and change. Maybe people have more time for it. I don't know. I just thought it was beautiful, though. It's, you know, three acts. It's like a whole story. But I thought it was done very well, and I got really caught up in it. And some of the scenes are so beautiful. It just broke my heart.
Yeah, like the scene. I mean, there's so many great moments in this. Yeah, this movie is like everything I wanted Forrest Gump to be.
Yeah,
I loved this movie. I really loved there's this moment where hold on, I gotta find the character's name. Mr. Weathers, who is Taraji P. Henson's boyfriend.
Yes.
Where he recites Shakespeare.
Yes.
To the little boy who's an old man. It's so beautiful. And I love all the things with the people in the old folks home.
Yes.
You know, the woman, the opera singer, and the one who teaches him piano. And these women, you know, these women and men, the lightning guy that come in and out of his life. And he has a very, you know, sophisticated experience with death by the time you know, he becomes a parent and has to think about like what his own end is probably going to be and what mm-hmm. you know, I really loved this whole concept of this movie. I thought it was done so beautifully, and just looking at not just aging, but you know, family relationships. Like, and I mm-hmm. loved like the whole thing with his father that yeah, you can imagine like that war. First of all, you've just been through World War One, just mm-hmm. ended like that day, and your wife dies, and you have a son, but he looks like a mangled mess. What on earth?
Right.
And yet he still wants to make sure, you know, anyway, yeah, I loved the way that they resolved that relationship. It's totally different than in the book, but I liked that whole journey of that relationship. And Taraji P. Henson is great. Julie Ormond, I think, is really great in these very expositional kind of, mm-hmm. You know, interstitial moments in the quote unquote present day during Hurricane Katrina. Yeah, the whole thing is great. I loved all the hospital people. I thought were really good in the present day, really well casted, and art direction was terrific. Costumes, lighting, hair, all of it.
Music.
Awesome. Yeah. All the stuff in Paris.
Oh my God.
Oh.
And Kate Blanchett's hair is just like a thing to behold.
Is a poem. It's amazing.
Her skin and her hair. I was just like, how does someone get, and their cheekbones. I'm just like,
she's a walking L'Oreal commercial.
She really is. And then Brad Pitt, it's like, I remember now when Thelma and Louise came out. First
remember?
Song.
And we were like, hold the phone.
Exactly. There's a new level of sexy that exists now. And I think what was the movie they did? 7 Years in Tibet? Did he do that?
Yeah, Seven Years in Tibet. Yeah.
That's where they said they got some of that footage of him when he was much younger. Because Brad Pitt was an old 45 when he did this movie. I'm like, good God, is he just a handsome guy?
I mean, come on.
Come on. He's so everybody's so beautiful. And it's in the setting. And like you said, I love the stuff in the old folks' home. And you start to feel these losses for these people.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense at the beginning of the movie that he would wind up being raised there, because you're around a bunch of people in their 70s, 80s, older. You're just more adaptable in life. You're more just to be like, mm-hmm. all right, mm-hmm. well, we're going to got a baby. One was like, I've had 10 of them. Bring them to me.
Yeah. You're not worried about what people think.
Right.
I thought that was awesome choice,
yeah.
Which is not in the book at all.
No.
I really, really loved it. And I love how Taraji P. Henson's character like instantly loves this baby.
Right.
Just loves him to death. And even when she has her own daughter, you know, those, they're siblings, you know, mm-hmm. it's a wonderful, wonderful performance.
I also really like the scene where she goes to the faith healer.
Uh-huh.
Benjamin walks. I think that's a clip at the top of the show. And then Benjamin says, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And the man just splat. Like, there's so much humor in this movie.
There is a lot of really nice humor touches throughout the whole thing that keep it from going, you know, too melodramatic, too maudlin.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. I just think this movie, I loved it. Loved it. It's so long, I know,
yeah. But
really well done. I loved, I mean, there's not one, I can see why you wouldn't want to, like, what do? You cut the tugboat?
No. And I was Jared
Harris
don't. As Captain Mike
Captain
Clark.
Mike.
Oh, with his tattoos.
He was great. Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. It's so good.
Yeah.
Now, coming up, we decided we're going to do a book and movie that our listeners in the Facebook group especially mm-hmm. have asked for years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Going to do it.
Right. So the short story is called Story of Your Life. It's by Ted Chiang, Chiang. It's also on Audible. And the movie is titled Arrival, and it stars Amy Adams. And it's in Amazon Prime right now and on Hulu. So if you've got one of those, you can stream it for free. Well, free in air quotes, but it's there. Right. So that's going to be the next one.
We're going to do that next.
And we also should say we're a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. We're really psyched about that. If you want to check out their other podcasts, it's frolic.media/podcasts. And also if you, you know, look, we have the Patreon page. If money's tight, we totally get that. If you could leave us a review on iTunes, we would be really appreciative. We'll read it on the air, or just tell a friend about the show, or, you know, email us. We'll send you some stickers and you put it on your laptop and show everybody that you like Book Versus Movie.
That's right. So where can people find you on the internet, Margo?
You can find me at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram, and my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And where can they find you?
You can find me at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media is at She's Nacho Mama.
So we'll be back soon with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book Versus Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You could find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts. If you want to find us on Facebook, we have a basic Facebook page, Book vs. Movie. We also have a private Facebook group. Just type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Just spell that out. Our email address is bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show, we do have a Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/bookversusmovie. We also have a promotion with Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/bookversusmovie to check out their service for yourself. We record our shows using the Handy H6N, donated to us by generous fans from the show who joined our Patreon page. Thank you all so much. We so appreciate it. We'll be back soon with a new episode.